Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So, our scripture reading has come from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth, they, in terms of their surrounding and where they were based, it was kind of similar to us today. So Corinth was a city, it was a busy city. It was made up of mainly Romans, but there were some Greeks who also lived there as well. And it was a place that was known for trade and for wealth. And because it was made a place where there was trade and wealth and it was busy, it was a place where people sort of came in and they went away. And it was just a mixture of people. And so, of course, with different people coming in from different places, people came with their own religions, with their own beliefs, with their own worldviews. And as we begin to read Corinthians, the whole of it, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we come to understand that the church were having a few problems. One of the things that they was being quite heavily influenced by the culture around them. And also they had some theological misunderstandings. There was also the issue of false prophets to the extent that the church no longer were accepting what Paul was saying, but what the false prophets were saying. And another big issue that was happening there was the Christians were forming binding relationships and close alliances with unbelievers. And that's the issue we're going to focus on today, is that being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And, you know, what is a binding relationship or what is a close alliance? It's those relationships that we form with people that we're kind of together with them quite a bit, and they can have an influence over the choices that we make, the decisions that we make. We begin to pick up on their ways. And of course, a binding relationship is marriage. There's no question about that. A binding relationship is marriage. And it's important to highlight that in terms of unequally yoked and being married, the Bible does speak on that. And we know that if you're married to an unbeliever, God does encourage us to stay in that marriage, and he's able to work in that marriage and to have grace over that marriage, and we pray about that unbelieving spouse. So just to bear that in mind when we're talking about unequally yoked relationships, but marriage is a bit different on a different side. So here we are, they're in Corinth. There's a problem with them having these relationships, and it's quite a touchy subject. I'm sure many of us have been in the situation where we're trying to talk to a loved one or a friend about a relationship that they have or a friendship they have with somebody, and it's, you know, you can see it's not quite good, and you're trying to tell them, you know, have you considered this relationship? Is it the best for you? And most of the time we get shut down. We completely get shut down. They don't want to hear anything that we've got to say about it. Or perhaps you've been on the receiving end. Somebody's trying to tell you about a relationship that you have or a friendship you have that might not be good for you, and you just completely shut it down because you just don't want to hear it. So these conversations, they are sensitive, and they are a little bit hard or tricky to work around, and we try to approach it in the best way ever. And Paul understood this. Paul actually understood that this is going to be a difficult thing for them to hear. And this is going to be a bit of a struggle. But nonetheless, because of Paul's love for the church, the body of Christ, because of his love and his zeal to see spiritual growth in all believers, it was a subject that he addressed straight on, because it had to be addressed, because it was having an impact on the spiritual growth of the Christians. And it's important to identify that Paul, when he addresses this issue, he doesn't come at it in a condemning way. You know, he comes at it in an encouraging way, with love, and he reminds the Corinthians, you know, the church in Corinth, who they are in Christ, of their identity. In fact, before Paul actually begins to speak directly on this situation, he says to them, look, I'm coming to you as a father, as you guys are my children. He says, please open up your heart to what I'm about to say. And so after asking them to open up their hearts, he gets straight into it. He says, look, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And again, that term yoked means to kind of be together and kind of straddled together. If back then they would use two animals to plow up the earth, and they would yoke the animals together, but it was important that the two animals that were yoked together were the same nature, the same size, so they were able to do the work in a good way, in a way that helped both of them. No one was pulling the other back, or there wasn't any kind of unequal balance. So he says, you know, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then Paul goes into this sort of emotional climax where he gives these two contrasts between believers and unbelievers. But in doing so, he reminds the church, look, this is who you are. This is your character. This is what you've been made into now that you are believers. And he says this, look, well, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? He's saying, guys, you've been made righteous. Unbelievers are wicked. There's nothing in common. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Don't you remember that Jesus called us light of the world? Unbelievers are in darkness. Or what harmony is there between Christ and Satan? We serve Christ Jesus. He is our Lord. And unbelievers serve Satan. What agreement is there between those two? What harmony is there between those two? There isn't none. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? See, we as believers are heading in one direction and unbelievers are heading in the other. What do we have in common? And you know, this isn't the first time that Paul has had to remind a church of who they are in Christ, of who their identity is. This comes from Corinthians, but in another letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says this, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Goodness, righteousness, truth have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them. And that's come from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. We all need reminders sometimes of who we are in Christ and who we've been called to be in Christ. See, what Paul is saying is, look, those of us who are believers, those of us who have given our lives to Christ, we are in the kingdom of God. And unbelievers are in the kingdom of darkness. And there's no reason for these two to come together. They shouldn't come together. There's no agreement. There's no harmony. There's nothing in common. See, the thing about the Word of God, and I think I've said it before, I really love it when it comes to these things. It's very point blank and straight direct about the differences between those who are in the kingdom of God and those who are in the kingdom of darkness. There's no room to be left for confusion. And there are only two spiritual realms in this world. There are only two. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of darkness. There's no in-between. And sometimes we create this kind of in-between box where we put people. We tend to put the people there that, you know, they do good, or, you know, they're thinking about God, but they haven't quite given their life to Christ yet. And we put people in this box, but there is no box. If someone is not born again, if they are not following Jesus, if they are not seeking him and his ways, they are in the kingdom of darkness. They're not in the middle box. There's no middle box. They're in the kingdom of darkness. And sometimes we don't like to say that, or we don't like to think of things like that, because it doesn't make us feel good, or it doesn't sit well with our emotions. But it's not about our feelings. It's not about our emotions. It's about God's truth. There is two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There's no middle box. You see, we need to be careful that we don't put people in the middle box, because when we do that, we tend to form these kind of bonds with them, again, these close alliances, and before we know it, these people begin to have a kind of influence over us. Yeah, this is something that Satan has been doing for a very long time. It's one of his tactics, one of his traps that he uses to let sin creep into our lives. He uses those ones that are close to us. You only have to look at the beginning, Adam and Eve. How did Satan manage to get Adam to slip into sin? He did it through Eve. You see, it's easier for us to allow sin into our life when it's presented to us by those who we keep close to us. So who is it that you put in this middle box that doesn't actually really exist? Who are those people that you know actually they are in the kingdom of darkness? They're not in the kingdom of God. What relationships do you have that cause you to compromise your faith, cause you to compromise on your convictions, cause you to kind of fall back into sin? What relationships do you have? And only you can answer that question. Only you know those relationships that you have that are impacting your spiritual walk with Christ, those relationships that you have with people who are in the kingdom of darkness, that are doing all sorts of things that you know the Word of God says you shouldn't do. Who are those people? What are those relationships? Verse 17, God says, come out from them and be separate. You see, this call for us to be separate, it's not a new thing. God has always called his people, his children, to be separate from those in the world. When you even look at the Ten Commandments, it wasn't very new for an ancient nation to have commandments or rules or laws. But when you begin to compare the Ten Commandments to the neighboring towns, what their commandments were or their laws were, you will see that the Ten Commandments were different. They set a higher standard. They're the only laws that gave direction to holy living, because God calls his people to be separate from the nation, separate and called out. Even in Deuteronomy, you know, God warns his people, you know, when I give you this land, the land I'm taking you to, when the nations are driven out, do not make a treaty with them, meaning that, you know, a close relationship or a bonding relationship. Don't do it. Don't hand your children to them for marriage. Don't marry them. Be separate. Be separate. And why? He says, because they will lead you astray to serve other gods. These relationships have an influence over us if we're not careful. In the book of Jeremiah, God, again, speaking about being separate, he says, do not learn the ways of the nations, for their practices of the people are worthless. There's more scriptures we can find in the Bible about being separate. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Another one, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What bad company do you keep? Again, who are the friends that you have or the relationship that you might be in that's causing you to compromise your faith? So Paul, he gives these contrasts. He gives these contrasts between unbelievers and believers. And then we reach the kind of final climax between the comparisons. And he says this, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols, for we are the temple of the living God? Why is that the climax? Because if you had any opportunity to ask an ancient Israeli, what is the most important place in the whole world, they would respond, I guarantee they will respond, the temple in Jerusalem. You see, the temple in Jerusalem, it wasn't an ordinary place. It was a place where God dwelt. It was a place where God called him his home. It's where he dwelled in spirit. That's where he was. It was a place which was sacred. It was holy. It wasn't a place where anybody could just walk into. In fact, the only person who could go in the temple was a priest, and that was once a year on the Day of Atonement. It was a place where God himself chose to dwell, to be among his people. And actually, the temple in Jerusalem goes a bit back. It originated from the tabernacle. And just for educational purposes, what's the difference between the tabernacle and the temple? Well, the tabernacle is what God commanded Moses to build while they were in the wilderness, the tabernacle. And it was made from soft materials, but God still dwelt in the tabernacle. And you can read loads of scriptures about, you know, he dwelt there in a cloud or a fire. It was visible, like God was dwelling in that tabernacle. And then we move on to the days of Solomon, and Solomon decides to build the temple instead, which was made out, which was a building. It was a building. It couldn't move. It was a building, and it was made from stone and covered in gold. But it was the same thing. God dwelt in that temple. And absolutely nothing unclean would go in the temple. In fact, even before the priest would go into the temple, he had to follow rules and regulations to be clean before he could go in the temple. Even the items that were in the temple had already been sanctified and they were clean. Because this was holy space. This was a sacred space. And it had to be kept clean. But here we are in 2 Corinthians, where Paul is saying, you guys, believers in God, in Jesus, you are now the temple. You are the temple of the living God. You are the place where God has chosen to dwell through his Holy Spirit. You are holy. You are sacred. And the same goes for us today who have been born again. God dwells in us through his Holy Spirit, and he calls us together the temple of the living God. We are sacred. Sometimes we get like a little bit scared of the word sacred, but sacred means that we've been consecrated, we've been called out. God has put his name on us. He says, they belong to me. And because I put my name on them, because I made them my dwelling place, I'm the only one that should be worshipped and reverenced among them. The temple in Jerusalem, it was literally the place where heaven met earth. It was a place, the point of contact between God and between humans. It was a sacred place, and we are now that temple. We are the temple of the living God. So verse 17 in our main scripture, touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. So of course for us now under the new covenant, there isn't anything that we can literally touch that is unclean. What that means for us today is we need to separate ourselves from that which is unclean, from those who are in darkness. Because we have to remember that we're in the context of relationships, of binding relationships, of being yoked. So what's unclean? Those people who are in the realm of darkness, who are in the kingdom of darkness. God's asking us to separate ourselves from them. But it's important we get a balance there. Separation does not mean isolation. Separation doesn't mean isolation. We know that God has called us to witness to unbelievers, to love unbelievers. We're not called to hate them. We're not called to condemn them. We're called to love them and to reveal Christ to them. What the main concern is, are these relationships that we're having causing us to fall into sin, to pollute the temple, instead of keep the temple clean? And of course, we know Jesus himself, he sat with sinners. He ate with sinners. And we too, we have the duty to witness to those who are in the kingdom of darkness, to sinners. So it's about getting that balance. And I'm going to say again, what relationships do you have that are causing you to compromise on your faith, causing you to fall into sin, causing you to pollute the temple of the living God instead of to keep the temple clean? Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. See, just like the temple in Jerusalem was no ordinary place, we as a temple of the living God, we're no ordinary people. We're not just some community who meet on a Sunday for the greater good. We are the temple of the living God. God dwells in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. We are sacred. We are called out. We are consecrated. We are being used to be part of God's mission. We are to stand out. Again, let me remind you of what Jesus says. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Come out, be separate. God wants to do something through us. He wants to be glorified through us. We can't stand out. We can't stand out if we're going to be in with the ways of the world, if we're going to be doing what they are doing, if we're going to be pulled away from obeying God. What relationships do you have that you know are causing you to compromise your faith and pollute the temple? See, Christians, in our nature, we're divine. We are divine. God is within us. We have the mind of Christ. And because of our nature, because of who we are, we should only want to associate ourselves with that which is holy and pleasing to the Lord, that which is clean. And of course, we're going to get into situations and have relationships that cause us to stumble. But it's important that we do all that we can to separate ourselves from that, and to remember that there is grace, there is forgiveness there. But the command to touch no unclean thing and come out from them, it requires us to do something, to act on it. We can't just pray about it but not be moved to do something. We have to do something about it. We have to separate ourselves. So before I close the sermon, I want to end by sharing something really quickly. About 2 months ago, I began watching The Crown. I don't know if you all know about it, but it's The Crown. It's basically a kind of documentary, but a documentary on the Queen, on Queen Elizabeth. And it has so many episodes and so many series that, like, I'm still trying to get through it all. But there's one scene that will always stand out to me, and it's when the Queen, she finds out that she's her father has died. She's not in the UK. She has to fly back to go back for the funeral, and she just finds out that she's going to be the Queen. And she's just in her early 20s, and as she's on this plane, there's a scene where one of her maids, they come up to her and they give her a letter that's been written from her grandmother. And basically, in the letter, the grandmother is just warning her and getting her prepared for what's about to come. And basically, she says, look, forget about who you were. Forget about your opinions. Forget about what you like and what you don't like, because now you're about to be the Queen. Every decision that you make, everything that happens, you must remember that the crown must come first. And it's one of those moments where I think she realizes, okay, this is serious. And as the shows go on, you kind of see how she struggles with trying to put the crown first and kind of lay aside everything else, but she manages to do it. And so I say to us today, those of us who have been born again, who are spirit-filled, who God calls his holy temple, in order to be all that God has called us to be, in order to keep the temple clean, in every decision that we make, every relationship that we have, we need to remember that we need to put the temple first. Put the temple first and to keep it clean. Because God's Spirit dwells within us, and he has called us his home. And we are on a mission here to let others see God through us and to glorify him. And we cannot do that if we're going to be led away by the people in this world. So again, what are the relationships that you have that are causing you to lose your convictions, pulling you away from God? And again, with separation, it doesn't mean just separate yourself from these people and to let go of these relationships. It means also to draw closer to God, stand with him, to follow him, to obey him, to love him in every situation.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.